Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Lord God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday night. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the very Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, before we go into the lesson tonight, let us pray. So wherever you're listening to me at, and once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to me at on this broadcast, why don't you join in with me in prayer and let us petition the Lord once again together for the presence of his Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you this day for being Almighty God. We are grateful to be serving the all-wise one. And therefore, Lord God, we see that the heavens and the earth and the things therein display the works of your wisdom, the beauty of your wisdom, the works of your hands, which is outstanding. Father, we come today that we want to petition you once again that your Spirit will be with us, Lord God, as we go and take this journey into the Word of God. And Father, we ask today in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that you would just let your Spirit be with us to speak into our hearts this day. Father, my personal prayer is that you will help me to deliver your message as you will have me to deliver it, and that you will anoint the words of my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this golden opportunity that you have given us once again to go into the Word of God. In Jesus' almighty name we pray, and Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you once again on another blessed day in Christ Jesus. And I am grateful and humbled to have this chance by Almighty God to address you with the Word of God. Today's lesson is the first message, God's Word to Man, Part 3. Now, some of you who are just tuning in saying, Part 3, when did you do Part 2 and 1? Well, I had did it, and if I'm not mistaken, it may have been earlier this year. Now, I'm going back to speak on the other things that he said in that first message. Now, some of you who just clicking on, you say, well, who are you talking about? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 17 chapter that Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. And the Lord Jesus had been sending the angel Elijah. And you can look in Matthew chapter 17 to see who the Elijah is. And you can look in Malachi chapter 4 of his promise of sending Elijah in these last days, which is before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And so in the first message back here, I started off reading the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he sent through his angel messenger, the Elijah. I also point the listeners to ask Jesus for yourself. And I want to run by you with this once again before we go into the message. Some of you that is listening, that listens to this, the words that I give from this message, some of you is going to sense the Holy Spirit right then. And I say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise Almighty God. Then there are going to be some of you that may not sense nothing. And you may say, well, Brother Nate, I can't say yay to Nate or what you're saying. I haven't sensed anything, but I will ask the Lord. And I say, hallelujah to that also. Then there are going to be some others of you that say, man, you are playing crazy. You're speaking against scripture. I don't want to hear this, blah, blah, blah. Click. And to that, I still say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because, as my brother Manny would say, at the end of the day, what counts is what I got done for him. Because the Lord Jesus did not tell me to give this message and to force it down anybody's throat. He did not tell me to get any phone numbers or address and bug you to see what are you asking. He didn't do that. And once again, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just letting you know that if you choose. Now, the Lord told me to give you this message and let you choose. whom you will serve, let you choose whether you go to him or not. If by some reason you choose not to go to Jesus, then okay. I'm not going to argue with you about it. Like I said, when at the end of the day, the main thing is that I've done what Jesus had me to do, okay? And I know that from the giving of this word of the Lord Jesus, everybody's not going to receive it. I already know that. And the Lord just let me know that anyhow. But however, he did let me know that there will be many that will receive it. So that's why I got to be about my Father's business. Now, this first message, Jesus sent by the Elijah, Matthew 17, Malachi 4, Jesus sent it February the 4th, 1927. And once again, we must understand that true angels of the Lord come at the appointed time of the Lord. They don't come just because you prayed and said, I want to see an angel. In other words, what I'm saying is they don't come at your timing. Angels is not, quote, on your beck and call. They're on the beck and call of the Lord. So, you know, the angels is not walking around up there in heaven saying, you know, I'm bored. I think I go down there and visit Brother Nate. I ain't talked to him in a while. And then take off from heaven and come down here. That's not how it happened. When you get a visitation from the angel of the Lord, trust me, he was sent by God. And trust me, he came on God's appointed time. So when God told him, said, go now, that's when he go. Amen. Because see, in the third heaven where Christ said, they are obeying God, people. That's why, you know, and I'm about to go on. That's why I don't get some people who are putting people in heaven who won't accept Jesus Christ as Lord, cussing Jesus' name, don't want to obey the word of God. And when they die, you say, oh, George is in heaven. I'm sorry. George is not there because George is in the wrong nature. There is no sin nature in the third heaven. There is nobody acting like the devil. The last person that, quote, act like the devil himself, was kicked out. Amen. So this message was sent February the 4th, 1927. Amen. To Brother Otto Fetting to give out unto they that be of the bride and they that have received the message. Okay. Amen. And one of the things, and I want to start and pick up from where I believe I last left off from part two. And I want to read this. He said, the temple will be built. If not by the people in charge, the Lord will raise up a people that will build it. Now, a couple of verses before this in this message, he said that the revelation that was given for the building of the temple was true, and the temple soon will be started. See, in these last days, there will be a temple built for the Lord. Remember when Matthew, in Matthew 17, and what we're going to understand is that the Elijah is going to take part in dealing with this building. Because remember the Lord said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Not some things. Not many things. You know, read it for yourself. Matthew 17, verse 10 through 13. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. All things that what? Well, you look at Mark, God said there's things that be of God and there's things that be of man. And so Elijah is sent to restore the things that be of God. Amen? And we know about the Temple of Solomon that was built, and we know what happened to it. It came under destruction, especially when they were serving these other idols. Well, there's going to be another temple that's going to be built in these last days dedicated to Jesus. And so Jesus, through the angel, said that this is true. And we're going to look at one of the witnesses in the Bible, like Malachi. Malachi speaks about this temple, okay, in the last days. And God wants you to know that what Malachi even got was true. And he said the temple will be built, if not by the people in charge, the Lord will raise up a people that will build it. The people of the Lord is going to be involved in building this temple. It ain't going to be just anybody, okay? But the people of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to build in this temple. Think about it. back in David's time, remember David wanted to build a temple for the Lord. But and he was going to set forth to do it, but the Lord told him, said, no, because you have shed blood. Now, just think about it. If David couldn't have hand in building it because he shed blood, just imagine if someone's not born again, you think they're going to be building in this temple? No. The Lord's people is going to take part in the building of this temple in the last days. Praise be to God. Now, let's look at some witnesses, other witnesses from the Bible, because we got one from the angel of the Lord, the Elijah, saying that, letting us know that there's a temple that's going to be built in these last days for the Lord. Now, we went over that in part one and two, but we're going over it again. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, and let's look at this, because there's a temple that's going to be built in these last days. Amen. Rest assured of it, and God has witnesses, amen, to the fact. This is why we do not throw away the Old Testament. Now, some of y'all who like hollering out there, whenever somebody come with a scripture from the Old Testament, you quick to jump and say, oh, we ain't Old Testament, we New Testament, Revelation. Wait a minute. We don't follow the law of Moses and its ordinances. That's been done away with. Or the giving of Sabbaths and all that. That's done away with. But if you would read the Old Testament prophets was given revelation or given a word about what will happen in our time today. So what kind of sense would it make for you to throw away the whole Old Testament when you got some New Testament word up in there? Amen. So I wanted to say that before we go into reading Malachi, because I hear so many Christians, whenever you come say, okay, the scripture found in Amos 3, and they so quick to jump and say, wait a minute, that's Old Testament, we're now Old Testament, blah, blah, blah. Calm down. You need to go back and really look in the scripture, because, no, we're not under the old covenant. No, we're under a new covenant of the New Testament. But, however, the principles, spiritual principles in the Old Testament still apply. And the word that he gave his prophets, amen, for this day and time, it's still valid. So why throw away and tear away the Old Testament? Now, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, look what the word of God says. Behold, I will send my messenger. First of all, who's speaking? The Lord. He's going to send his messenger. And what's going to happen, Lord? And he shall prepare the way before me. And what else, Lord? And the Lord whom ye seek, Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, shall suddenly come to his temple. If the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, say the Lord of hosts. Now notice that he says Jesus, and he said the Lord whom ye seek. Now everybody ain't seeking the Lord. So we know he's talking to believers, but especially faithful believers. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there are some professing believers who are not seeking Jesus. Amen, amen. There are some professing believers who are not even seeking Jesus. They don't even have time to pray. Why don't have time? Because they have booked their whole life schedule with other things that they have deemed more important. That's the way I got to put it, people. I know some of you, yeah, that just harsh the way you said that. No, that's the truth. They have set other things to be more important, and so that's why they're more wrapped up in it than in praying. Some of them even ain't got time to study the word. Why? Because you have deemed other things more important. Now, some of you may get mad at that. You may say, well, you judged me. You don't know. Your action is showing. Amen. Now, he said, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Okay? Amen. Now, you said, well, Brother Nate, how is that showing that there is a temple to be built in the last days? Well, look at what he says in verse 5. He said, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside a stranger from his right, and fear not me, say the Lord of hosts. Now, here's the question. When Jesus first came, did he come to near to us in judgment? No. He came to be the Lamb. Okay. Did he come as a swift witness against the sorcerers and adulterers and all that? No. He came to be the Lamb. Now, on his second return, he will. He's coming back in judgment. Okay. Not only is he coming back to get his people, but he's coming back because the Word of God calls his coming the great and dreadful day. Why would the Word of God call it that? Because it's going to be great for the people of God, but dreadful for the wicked, because he's going to cast out his judgment and his wrath. So we see here that this, what he's talking about, couldn't refer to the first coming. This got to be referred to Christ's second coming. And so therefore, this temple that Christ is coming back to got to be the temple talking about being built in the last days. Amen. Hallelujah. Ulabashata, glory. Hallelujah. He should suddenly come to his temple. Now, the other thing I want to say about the temple that I've seen in the Word of God, not only is this dealing with the literal temple, okay, but this temple, this word temple in this verse here in Malachi 3 and 1 has a twofold meaning. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You said, well, what do you mean, Brother Nate? This word temple is also dealing with the people of God. You said, well, why do you say that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, in verse 16, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So when he said, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, he's talking about the literal temple that will be built, and also he's talking about coming to his own, coming to his people, to where he dwells in them. See, everybody's not born again. Everybody doesn't have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in them, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. But most definitely, as he sent his angel messenger to say, the temple will be built. If not by the people in charge, God will raise up a people that build it. Listen, if you got a work to do for the Lord and slack up on it, don't think you the only ones, okay? Because you want to play on God's mercy card and think that's supposed to last forever. Well, God lets you know how to find others. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people, that's not the love of God. Okay, love of God. God does love all mankind. God loves his people. But however, God ain't nobody you're going to get over on, okay? Now, let's look at another witness from the Bible. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah should be chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for his word. You know, he's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Zechariah chapter 6. And look what the Word of God says. This is pointing to the end time. Verse 12 and 13 said, I speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. Now, we're going to talk about that at another time, who this one is called the branch is. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Verse 15. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. If this shall come to pass, and this shall come to pass, if you would diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Okay? So here it's talking about the end time, where one that's called a branch along with the people of the Lord is going to build in this temple. Now, if we look at chapter 8, Zechariah, still talking, verse 9 and 10. It said, thus the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets. Now, let me stop there for a minute. Remember in the New Testament, when Jesus said, I speak to those that hear. Well, see, everybody ain't listening. Everybody ain't trying to hear. So he's specific. Now, we know, and Jesus even said in Scripture, he that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So we know that God's people in the position of hearing. But specifically, those who are giving themselves to Christ. Not the sinners, and not the wavery, as they say, some wavery professing believers. Because once again, like I said, some professing believers don't even have time for the Lord. But we know definitely God is people. So he said, let your hands on ye that hear in these days these words by out for the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction, for I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. See, that's the end time, people. See, he's talking about the building of this temple, and it's going to be built during some tribulation period time, during some hard time, where he said there will be no hire for men nor hire for beasts. It's not going to be built in the also booming time, but in a time of tribulation, and it's still going to be built. See, that shows you something about God. No matter what you're going through in times too tough, God can still have that wisdom of him to come. Amen? He still have you doing the work for him. Amen? See, sometimes I think because we may need to travel to do a work for the Lord and we ain't got a penny in our pocket, we can't do it. But do you understand who you serve? Because if he had called you to go forth, whether it's state to state or country to country, he has to provide a means for you to go there. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at another witness. Let's look at Haggai. Haggai. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 2. Once again, what I'm giving you these scriptures and these witnesses, hey, ask the Lord. You know, Brother Nate is not on here on the broadcast tape, and don't you ask God nothing. No. In fact, Jesus told me to tell you, then point you to him. Okay? Once again, I'm not calling and or tell you to call me, give me your name. For those of you that say, blah, 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 you ain't going to pray. No, I'm not doing that. Not going to do that. Amen? Now, Haggai chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. And it said, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, say the Lord of hosts. Fill this house with glory. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, say the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house. See, that's what the temple is, the latter house. Shall be greater than of the former. Okay. Even at the building of Solomon's temple, say the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, say the Lord of hosts. It's going to be better than the last temple. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's why they're going to be just no anybody building on it. And just no anybody ain't going to be doing just anything in building it. If God said, hey, I want you to set the stakes 30 feet and you go 31, nope, you're going to have to bring it back a foot. You have to do it just like God said. Amen. Hallelujah. But this temple is to be built in these last days. So you got the angel of the Lord telling you a temple to be built in these last days. You got Malachi, Zechariah, and Haggai. You got four witnesses. Now I've given you four witnesses. Amen. Now, once again, for those of you that's listening, who have said, hey, I don't know, I ain't got no witness to that. I understand. However, you can go get a witness from Jesus. Go ask him for yourself. Amen. Now, let's go back to the message. Back to the first message. Let's read the next thing he says. And this is what he said. He said, the coming of Christ is near at hand. And Christ will not delay his coming because of the unfaithfulness of the people. Now, here's the question. What people? He said, of the people, what people? Well, here's the key that let me know that he's talking about those who are supposed to be professing his name. Because he said, because of the unfaithfulness of the people. He couldn't be talking about the sinner, man, because the sinner is not being faithful to him. Can't be faithful to him. The sinner is still ruled by his sin nature. So when he said due to the unfaithfulness of the people, he has to be talking about professing believers who are going to start becoming unfaithful. Jesus said his coming is near at hand and he will not delay his coming. See, his coming is not based, quote, on us as the people per se. It's based on the time that he has set to return. Amen. And God said, hey, even if you decide to be unfaithful as a Christian, God said, that's not going to cause me to delay my coming. Jesus said, my coming is still there. I'm still going to come at the time I've appointed. But you're not going to cause me to delay it. You just, when I get here, if you're on the wrong side of the fence, then you're going to suffer consequences. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said his coming is near at hand. And he would not delay his coming because of the unfaithfulness of the people. So here's one thing about God. God is a God of order, and when he sets up something, that's what he aims for. Amen? There are some things that God has set that no matter what's said and done, you're not going to change it. Now, some things God speaks is conditional. In Scripture, remember when Hezekiah became lifted in pride, God sent his prophet to Hezekiah and said, get your house in order, you're going to die. When Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and per se repented, then what happened? God sent the prophet back and said, I will add 15 years to your life. So did God fail at his own word? No. What he sent the first time was conditional. But there are some things that God speaks is not conditional. It will be. It's going to happen. Nothing can change it. Okay. And so one of the things he tells us about his coming, his time he has for his return is set. And nothing can influence it from changing. So this is why he said through the angel messenger, the coming of Christ is near at hand. And Christ will not delay his coming because of the unfaithfulness of the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's go into some other witnesses. From the Bible, we got a witness from the angel of the Lord. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at Paul. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the precious word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2. And the word said, now we beseech you, brethren, and let you know who he's talking to, Christians. Okay. You know, it's amazing how some people are trying to call everybody brethren. Everybody, if you are a Christian, everybody's not your brother. Your brothers are the ones that are born again believers in Christ. Everybody's not your brother. But I see that some quote of the church folks is trying to call everybody their brother. Well, you know, that's our brother. No, if he don't believe in Jesus, don't accept him as Lord, won't accept him as Lord, he's not my brother. I don't care if he's me and him the same color. He's not my brother in the Lord. Amen. So he said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, by our gathering together. Talking about believers. See, believers should be able to assemble together. I say we should be able to assemble together. Right now, at times, we're throwing sticks in the clubs and all that against each other, and we can't assemble together. Amen? Sometimes we can't assemble together because we're not all, quote, of the same church and all that. But anyhow, he said in verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Is at hand. Amen. Paul said it, that it's at hand, it's near. It's about to manifest. It's about to, This thing about to happen. Now, we know that other events that happen first, but he's letting you know it's soon to come. Now, to some of you who say, yeah, but soon ain't giving me no number. No, but rest assured, it's soon to come. And Paul said to the Christians at Thessalonians, he said that the day of Christ is at hand. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And many of us in the body of Christ are preaching the second coming of Christ. Some of us is preaching the second and third, which I don't know where you're getting that from, okay? But the majority is preaching the second coming of Christ. But the interesting thing about that, now that's divided up in between the, quote, rapture, okay? Amen. Paul said that day of Christ is at hand. It's near. Hallelujah. It's not far off. It's not far away. It is near. We are fast approaching his time. Not to jump ahead of other events that he said in this word going to happen. For example, people, just look at the days. Man, sometimes you go, you know, for those of you, let's say, got weekend off. Weekend come you off. Next thing you know, the next weekend it rolled around fast. Have you noticed how the days been like speeding up? You know, tomorrow, Lord say the same here, it will be Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday will come by fast so quick it ain't even funny. Next thing you know, you're back to the weekend again. These days are flying fast because we are quickly approaching Christ's return. But, however, we are also approaching other things that's to happen before his return. We got to remember that. And see, you got some in the body of Christ don't want to remember that part. They want to skip over it and talk about we got to remember Christ's return. Yes, Christ is to return, and it is near at hand. Now, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7 and 8. Verse 8 is the key verse. This is our next witness. Paul witnessed that Christ's coming is at hand. The angel of the Lord said that Christ's coming is at hand, and he won't delay it due to the unfaithfulness of the people. So that means it's set. Okay. And Paul letting you know it was set, just that Paul didn't know what day. And I really want to advise some of you, the ministers that are listening, quit trying to give people a, leave the ball figure part number alone. You know, we've got to a point, we start putting, well, you know, I estimate it may be in about 12 years. Don't go there. Just say like the word say it soon. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, he said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, so he's saying the Christ in return. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. So now he's saying that two times. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. They all witnessing that Christ is going to return. Hallelujah. James, Paul, and the angel, all witnessing that Christ is going to return. His coming is at hand. It's near. Okay? And all of them giving the word of God in agreement to not try to give you a ballpark figure. And it really, at times it used to bother me, and maybe to some degree upset me, when some of these ministers, in the pride of their hearts, is sitting there trying to give you a ballpark figure of when Christ's going to come. Leave it alone. Christ gave us the information he wanted us to have in connection with that. What he gave us was events that's supposed to happen to let you know his coming is nigh. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to look at Jesus. Jesus is going to witness and talk about his coming. Matthew chapter 24. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to start at verse 43. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24. Now I'm going to start at verse 42. He says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." So once again, Christ will let you know he's going to return. "But notice that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for such an hour ye think not the Son of Man coming." So now he's stressing again. He's going to return. Jesus is going to return. Okay. Then he said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord have made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that day shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now remember, the angel said, the coming of Christ is near at hand, and he will not delay his coming due to the unfaithfulness of the people. Well, here, Jesus is the other witness to that. He let you know in these scriptures I read that he's going to come, and no matter if, remember, he said, "But if that evil servant," see, this is once a professing Christian that would turn to an evil servant, who's going to say in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming." Amen. And he's going to begin to smite his fellow servant. Do you know it is happening and it's going to happen that now there are some who start to turn away from believing that Christ is going to return? They're taking in doctrine of devils. You may know some. You may know some in the church, and you say, "He or she preaching what? Man, I know them. They used to be on fire for God. What happened?" Well, you're starting to find out there are those who are coming to a point now where they're starting to say Christ ain't going to return. He said, "If that evil servant is saying in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming." What he's going to do? He's going to begin to smite his fellow servants and to drink with the drunkards. He's going back out in the world. See, this is what's going to happen with some professing believers. They're going to stop believing that Christ is going to return. They're going to stop believing that his return is at hand. And they're going to go back and be joined with the world. And they're going to turn against their own fellow servants. Amen. Well, you can say amen or oh me or I don't know anyhow or whatever. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 13. Let's see what Mark had to witness. Something about what Jesus said concerning the end time and his return. Mark chapter 13. We're going to start looking at verse 32. Verse 32, Mark chapter 13. Looking at another witness. Mark witnessing to what Jesus said. Matthew just witnessed to what Jesus said about he's going to come back. He's going to return. Look what he said in verse 32. He said, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house," that's Jesus, "cometh. At even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning." See, Jesus talking about his return. "Lest coming suddenly." See, remember in Malachi 3 what we looked at. He said that Christ is going to suddenly come to his temple. And I told you that that temple is a twofold application. It's a literal and a spiritual, which is the people. And so here it backs it up by saying, "Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." Now remember, the angel said that Jesus is coming, is near at hand, And he would not delay it due to unfaithfulness of the people. Now, he said, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What happens when you are literally asleep? You are inactive. So symbolically, we can look at the sleeping as dealing with your unfaithfulness, connected to your unfaithfulness, because you are not active in the Lord. And he said, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. See, he said, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. So you sleeping ain't going to stop him from coming. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's still going to come. Why? Because he has the set time to come. Okay? Set time. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. Hallelujah. Supporting what the angel of the Lord have said. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. He's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Amen. Now, let's look at one more. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Thank God for Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start at the third verse. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Now, according to the original Greek word that was there for scoffers, it means a derider or a false teacher or a mocker, okay, who will be walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Or who coming? Christ coming. For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Do you hear that? Now, these are once professing Christians that's going to turn. They're going to get to a point where they're going to start mocking. They're not going to believe in the promise of Christ's return. Amen? They're even going to go to a point where all things are going to continue as they were from the creation, from the beginning of the creation, that there will be no change. Hallelujah. For this, verse 5, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens of old were of old, and earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now, first of all, he said, they willingly are ignorant. See, there is a place where you're ignorant, and there's a place where you willingly ignorant. Some people are willingly ignorant. They, by their own will, don't want to know nothing. Amen. How do you think you're going to progress in the Lord? You won't. What are you going to do? Go backwards. Amen. If you don't want to know nothing about the word, because see, that word is your lifeline, people. That's your strength. That's your lifeline. And if you get to a point where you don't want to know nothing about it, you cannot advance and go forward in the Lord. You can cancel that. And then you will start speaking against the Lord, like we're seeing people here now in this verse here. And he said, whereby the world that was then, that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack. The word slack, originally Greek word here, means to delay concerning his promise. His promise of what? Of his return. He's going to come at the time he set appointed. As some men count slackness, but it's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, or in other words, conduct and godliness? He said, what kind of person you think you should be? Now, nowhere in any verse we looked at did he say anything about anyone being unfaithful is going to hinder his return. He let us know that there are going to be people who don't believe. Once we're believing, they won't believe. Talking about where is the promise of his coming? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Look at verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know that these things before, beware. See, this is a warning. Lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He tell you, beware. Beware. Because you say the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He let you know it's still going to come as a thief in the night. Well, how many thieves you know is calling you up and saying, listen, I'm coming to rob your house at 12:30 tomorrow, so be ready. Okay, no. If the thief ain't announcing the time that he's coming, when Jesus is returned, it's like a thief in the night. He just tells us that his return is at hand and it's soon, it's going to happen, it's come, but he doesn't give you a date or no time. I heard one brother said something about this some years ago. He said, you know, if God gave us a time, we would do wrong all the way up to that point and then try to do right. I believe he got a point there. I really do believe he got a point. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, we're going to stop it there on this part of the first message today. Thank you, Jesus. And looking at, hey, as we covered that, the angel of the Lord with the message, let us know, to sum it up, Christ's return is soon. Okay. None of his people's unfaithfulness is going to delay his coming. That his coming has a set time by him. Okay? A set time by him. It's not set by the angels. As a believer, you can pray all you want to. Come now, Lord, come now. He's not coming now. He has a particular time to come, but it is near. And this is why, once again, you look at the time we're in, days are flying by so quick, man. Soon, we're going to be at the end of the year before we know it. We already just about, tomorrow or the next day, we'll make the halfway point in the month of July already. Wow. Already. That fast. Wow. Days just flying by, whoop, 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 just going by. We're coming close, people. We're coming close. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you once again, Lord God, for this opportunity. And thank you for giving us the word of God. Father, I pray that everyone that was listening have tuned into this broadcast, were blessed by the presence of your spirit. I pray that those who've been listening and didn't quite understand, I hadn't got a witness, that they would seek you relentlessly for a witness in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we are very grateful once again for this golden opportunity you've given unto us. And we will give you glory and honor and praise and magnify you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you that have been listening to this broadcast. Glory be to God. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And don't forget tomorrow night, Brother Manny Murphy, Lord Say the Same Will Be On. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Praise be to God. So once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you and may God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God.